Where's my phone at? It's Week in Weebs, episode 49, I believe, November 6th, 2023. I'm Alonzo, you're my co-host Jason, and I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go?
Yep.
We're ready to go. How'd you feel about JJK? Episode...
It was great. 15. I thought it was great. I thought it was the best fight so far in this part of this arc.
In Shibuya?
Yeah.
Okay. Why was it the best one?
Because Toji. Yeah. But it was animated good. I thought it was animated good.
It was really cool. The only thing I don't...
There you go.
I was going to say, the only thing that I don't know about, maybe you know something about, why is it sometimes, like, dark? Or, like, there's, like, a shadow over the whole screen.
Over the screen?
Yeah.
But
you know what I'm talking about? Like, when he was, like, running on the water, sometimes it would be, like, darker.
Oh, dimmer?
Yeah.
I think that's, like, with the epilepsy thing. Like, they have to.
Oh, okay.
Like, remember when I said they blurred the punches, so people wouldn't. It might be that, but
okay,
that was pretty sweet. He was walking on water, smacking all the fish.
Yeah,
like, and then I thought the fight was awesome. I thought it was sweet.
Yeah, it was amazing. Especially I knew compared to last week.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't like the? I thought you liked the bathroom fight.
No, the one before that where he used the domain expansion and they were getting attacked by fish.
Oh yeah.
I like the bathroom fight. Some main things. One of the things, you know, that I get, like, that gives me anxiety sometimes when I watch shows, it's like I really want to see that. But even more so than that is like when I really want to see an interaction or a certain dialogue happen and it doesn't happen. Like, I was really waiting for Nabito, the old man Zenin, to say who Toji actually was.
He was just like, it's a ghost, yeah.
And he didn't say it, and it pissed me off so much because I'm like, bro, please say who it is just so I could see the reaction from Maki and Megumi. And, like, he was just like, Toji's in it, but he didn't say it. It was, like, in his head. And then she asked him, like, do you know who that is? Who is that? And he's like, it's a ghost. And I was just so annoyed. I was like, bro, just say it already. Like, I feel like I was holding in a sneeze. I was like, bro.
Yeah. I think, yeah, he could have said it out loud for sure. But I think for Maki, I mean, they're all the Zenin clan, but I don't think she really cares. Like, even if she was like, oh, man, that's, you know. You're like, oh snap, I guess that's kind of crazy. But for Megumi, I think it would have been good. He'd have been like, what?
That's what I'm saying.
But I mean, he's gonna find out.
I'm
pretty sure.
Oh, that's another question I have for you. So, like, a lot of
I don't know if it's actually Toji there or if it's just like a body acting on its own free will.
Okay. That's what I was gonna say. A lot of times during this episode they reiterated that he was just a body. And he's just acting on fighting whoever's the strongest, and he's not really
because after being he killed conscious. The old lady, the curse went away, and it was like once the curse energy of the vessel disappears, the curse should have ended. But since Toji's body doesn't utilize curse energy, it's just like a husk that's going off instinct. And they were saying like it was a bunch of anomalies just happening after one after another. Like nothing should be happening, but since it's such a special case. For everything, because he wasn't even supposed to be able to take over the body, but
his body took over.
So,
do you think that he's gonna talk? I'll be upset if he just doesn't talk and just like I don't know, dissipates at some point and never talks
and never says anything. I think, sorry, I'm coughing. I think he will say something, being that. They're saying, like, these are just a bunch of anomalies happening, so, like, why wouldn't another one just happen and he's able to, like, speak for a moment briefly? It might not be, like, super, like, winded, long-winded, but...
I'm your dad.
Or it might be like a couple, like a sentence or two or something like that. You know what I'm saying? He's so pissed. He's gonna be like, what? But either he'll say something, or after Shibuya happens, there'll be a recap and he'll find out that was his dad. And then they might go into a little more detail. But I mean, I don't think Megumi really cares. Even if he does find out it's his dad, he's going to be like, okay. You know, like, he kind of didn't really care about his dad anyway.
Right.
So yeah.
I just feel like I'll be upset about that. And then, let me see. What's another thing here?
He's, I was going to ask you, how do you feel about Gojo? Not Gojo. I forgot his name. What's his name? Not not Chozo.
Jogo?
Jogo, yeah. They're all like Jogo, Chozo, Gojo. Yeah, Chogo. How'd you feel about him? A lot of people, I've been seeing people saying, like, they didn't realize how strong he was, because everybody, he's always only fought Gojo, and Gojo is just so strong that he just makes him look trash. But then, once people, like, actually seen him fight people who aren't, you know, because those are like, top-level sorcerers, though, like, even though Papa Zenin, that's what they call him, right? Do they call him that? Why am I saying Papa Zenin?
I don't know. Old man.
Somebody I watched. Old man Zenin. Because, he, even though he was injured, like, he probably could have put up a better fight, because he was, you know, his arm was gone. He was already really damaged bad after the fight. He just got clapped instantly. Like, he tried to run away, and he's supposed to be the second fastest sorcerer in the world. And a lot of people were saying, like, dang, that's kind of crazy if he's the second fastest, but he couldn't outrun that fire. But Gojo easily would have been able to, you know, like, what's the gap between Gojo's speed and then his speed if he's the second? Like, it must be really crazy. And then,
Oh, wait, what were you saying?
I was going to say, and then, you know, he just clapped Maki and Nanami as well. So, what's your feelings towards that?
I actually had the same thing written down. I was going to ask you who you think, like, the top five strongest is, based off of what we know. I saw a lot of people, I saw some mixed things, like, people saying, like, Jogo was hiding.
Yeah, from Toji. I'm like, bruh. Let's be real here. Because look, a lot of people are going over the fact the only reason Toji was low-key able to even handle Dagen like that is because Megumi was opening up his domain. Now, we could say, like, yeah, even with the domain effect in place, Toji probably could have still won. But Dagen was pretty, like, confident that, like, if he stopped Megumi from opening up the domain, like, because they were fighting, so that negated his effect, he probably could have killed all of them. Maybe not Toji, but he was like, I could kill Megumi, Maki, Nanami, and Old Man Zenin if, like, my domain wasn't trying to, you know, fight this other domain and allow me to use my effect. I probably would just clap all four of them pretty, you know, easily. And then him and Toji 1-on-1 probably would have been more of a contest. But I don't think he was hiding from Toji.
I don't think he was hiding from him either. Like, I just thought it was really... There was a couple things I thought was weird about that. They said that Toji was going after the strongest.
And then he didn't go after...
why he went after Megumi and not Old Man Zenin or Shogo.
Mm-hmm. But you gotta also remember, Sukuna wants Megumi's body, so clearly he has some, like, potential that's crazy and untapped. So... I think it might be, and then another thing with Megumi is, like, we haven't even really seen his full powers, because the only time we've seen him kind of reach a limit is when he opened up that, like, partial domain at the end of season one, when he was, like, about to die, and he had no choice to basically, like, level up and go full power or whatever. So I think he just hasn't been in situations that allows him to push himself to show his full and true capabilities. Just like in anime fashion, it's like people only get to their max level when they're under immense pressure. It's never like they are just good all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it takes them being put in a situation where they're going to lose for them to level up. So I think that's just what it is for him, because he's never really been in a situation where he's going to, like, straight up die for real, except for at the end of season one. And then he was about to fight Sukuna, but he was about to use his secret technique. That's another thing. He has, like, this technique that he's always, like, his trump card, but he's never been able to fully use it. I didn't even realize that, but I watched, like, a clip. It's him about to, like, he's always about to do it, but then somebody's like, nah,
I feel like if he does that move, he just would kill him or something. Because every time he's about to do it, it's like, I feel like he's, like, sacrificing himself.
Yeah, so.
So
we'll find out. He might use it here. Like, told you, he might have to.
So, like, who do you think is
the strongest?
The top five, based off what we know.
I think Kenjaku, no order. I think Gojo is number two. I think Sukuna's number one. Then I think Kenjaku might be number three. Or fake Geto. They still haven't named him in the anime yet, but his name is Kenjaku. And then Chogo. That's his name, right?
Jogo.
Jogo. Cause they said he's They said he's eight fingers worth. He's eight fingers worth. Like, in terms of, like, Sukuna's fingers, he's eight fingers. And then, was that four?
Yeah, that's four.
And then probably Yuta.
Okay. For me, I feel like, I think number one is Gojo. I think number two is probably Sukuna. Number three, I'd say is, I mean, based on what I've seen, I think it's Toji.
Really?
I think so.
He lost to Chozo.
He lost to Gojo.
You said Toji?
Yeah, Toji.
Oh, I forgot about Toji. I think Toji's strong, but I think he just game planned against Gojo. You know what I'm saying? And that's why he won, realistically. But in just terms of, like, pure strength, I think he's probably, like,
I mean, you don't count. I count prep time, if that's what it takes.
Prep time.
To get into it.
Yeah, know. But, like,
he also beat Geto with no preparation.
Yeah, but that was young Geto. And young Gojo.
I mean, yeah, he was younger, but I don't know. What's really the difference in the ceiling of strength for Geto? Just, like, what curses he has?
I mean, he got more curses. Yeah, he consumed way more curses. He got smarter. Gojo, like, took a huge leap, though, after their first fight. Like, literally, he became. Yeah, so.
Like, I feel like Geto didn't increase his strength that much from hidden inventory to current day. At least from this is all my opinion. I don't know for sure, but I would say Gojo, Sukuna, just because we obviously know Sukuna's really strong, and
yeah,
but, like, I haven't actually seen him yet, so I don't know what he could do. And then I'd say Toji, just because I feel like, I don't know. I mean, we've seen him beat this guy pretty easily.
Yeah, how many cursed fingers is Dagen worth? I still put an asterisk behind that dub, though, because, like, he didn't single-handedly win. And I think a lot of people, like, glaze over that. Like, if Megumi wasn't trying to open his domain, that fight probably wouldn't have gone the same way it went. I think Toji probably still would have won, but I think if you're negating his literal domain effect, that's a huge handicap for him. It's basically like they're just fighting regularly with no, you know, stipulations. Like, they're on equal footing. Which, I mean, you could say, okay, if they're on equal footing and he doesn't open his domain, then Toji's just, like, winning. But it's the fact that, you know,
like,
I don't know, like,
put these other variables in, like, if Megumi wasn't there, then he would have had the domain's full effect. If it was just a one-on-one fight to start from the beginning and he uses domain, you could say Dog would have an advantage. But then I could also say, if Toji had his weapon,
his weapons
thing that he uses.
He has his little
this,
purse.
the playful cloud, it didn't even have cursed energy. in it. It was just like a physical weapon.
I thought it does have a curse energy.
I read it in the, it's in here somewhere in the manga, but like, yeah, take my word. I read it yesterday. It said that Playful Cloud doesn't have any cursed energy. So he's just beating them up, bro.
It says it's a with special sticks. Grade curse tool, though.
Yeah, it doesn't have any cursed energy, though.
Let it relies on raw power of its user.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he beat him. He didn't even have cursed energy. He just pummeled him with nothing. Imagine if he had his tools that he used for Gojo and Geto.
Yeah, but you got to also think, Geto was able to use Playful Cloud to fight against Yuta while Yuta was using his cursed sword.
Yeah.
So I think it does buff you somehow. It does something. There's obviously there's no, like, is that wouldn't make sense. That, I guess it's like indestructible or something, but it's like if that's the case, you could just get any kind of weapon and just, there has to be, I know there's no curse energy to it, but there must be something that like gives it a buff. Why would it be a special grade curse tool?
Yeah, it definitely has to be something. And it's not indestructible because he sharpened.
Yeah, he rubbed it against each other. But I mean, if you rub something indestructible against itself, it's going to break. That's just like hardening though. Like,
okay.
Cause it's like the same, like it's a hardness thing. Only something with the same hardness or more can like, gray something.
Okay. But I forgot my list again. I said Toji. I just hit my mic.
You said Toji. You said third. Gojo 1. Sukuna 2. Toji 3.
I think Yuta 4. Geto 5. That's my personal list so far. And also, before this arc started, I thought it was Yuji over Megumi.
Really? I do think it might be Yuji over Megumi.
That's what I thought. I thought he was stronger than him.
You think Megumi can beat Chozo?
Nope. I don't think so. Megumi couldn't even beat the other blood dude.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Yuji also couldn't beat him, but I don't know who would give him more of a fight. But yeah. And then Jogo, I mean, I guess I would put, I don't know if Jogo or Mahito is stronger.
So I still don't know what this thing does. Like, why is it a special grade curse tool if it has no curse energy?
I have no idea.
That's not making any sense to me. It's literally just a pair of nunchucks.
I don't know. And also, I have to go in 10 minutes because Raya's class schedule got all messed up. So I got to go pick her up. If you're available tomorrow to finish everything, then I will do it.
You want to quickly talk about one more or just end it here?
No, we can just keep talking about JJK. I have more to talk about.
Okay.
So we did a top five. What else is there? How'd you feel about Sukuna? How do you feel about Sukuna as a character?
I like his character. I think his character is awesome. He's a good villain. And I like his character a lot.
I also really like him. I'm just trying to figure out what everyone really likes about him. I feel like a lot of people really like him.
I'm him and I can do whatever I want because I'm the strongest man ever. So it is what it is. And he's very, I don't know. He's just a cool character. When he gets on screen, like his presence is just, you know, it's just like, I'm him.
He really is. I think that is what it is. It's just like, he's just like, severely confident.
Yeah. And he's not annoying about it either. He's just like, you know, he feels like he's a king and he's above everyone, but he doesn't just vocally says it. He does talk about it. He does say it a little bit, but he's just not like, Oh, I'm better than you. People will do certain things and he'll say it in a way. It's like when he was like, you guys, or they bowed down to him when he popped up, like, you know, everybody was like, oh shit, it's Sukuna, you know, like he didn't have to say anything. And then he just like swiped across. He was like, you hold your heads high or something like that. Right. And
yeah, he
was like, you stood on one knee. He was like, you think a knee is all it takes to bow to me? Like, you should be lower. And then the two girls, they were like, oh, you know, they were...
they were tripping. Yeah, they were like, is it even okay to breathe? Like,
yeah. And so that's what I mean. Like, he didn't have to say anything. It's just his presence. It's just like, yeah.
How do you feel about the two girls? Because I saw people talking about them, like some people saying they don't like them.
They're like, they feel bad for them. And then other people are like, how are you going to feel bad for them? They also murdered a bunch of people too, along with Ghetto. And then somebody was like,
they were terrorists.
They were manipulated because they were about to get killed by that village. That village was about to like, just like put them on stakes and hang them like witches, basically. Like it's freaking the Salem witch trials. Cause they're like, you're the reason you're causing all the, causing all the curses. And everybody just like stone them to death. And then Ghetto showed up and like burned the whole village and then saved them. And a lot of people were saying like the way they view life and the way they view things are skewed because they've been under Ghetto, or not Gojo. Ghetto. I said Gojo earlier, but I meant Ghetto. And basically, since they grew up with Ghetto, and he's like their, I guess you can say
basically dad.
Dad, yeah, kind of like their dad. Everything he thought or his ideals are put inside of them. So they believe what he believes. So you can't blame them since they've been raised like that since they were kids. So they don't really know any better. But I mean, realistically, they're still stupid. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then Kenjaku even said, like, I have Ghetto's memories. And he was like, didn't I tell you? Because he's still talking as if he's Ghetto, even though they know he's not Ghetto. He's like, didn't I tell you if you ever do a deal with the curse, make sure it's like a pact or whatever? So it's like guaranteed, and they just did a deal with no pact and basically got Gojo to get sealed, because didn't they get the box form or something?
They
did something. He was like, all right, you got him now, get back his body. They did something to help, whatever they did to help. They're like, we'll help you as long as you give us his body back. But they didn't make a pact. They just trusted this dude on his word, which is stupid. So, and he was like, didn't I tell you, basically saying like, didn't Ghetto tell you guys, like, if you ever do anything like this, make it a pact so that they have to do it. And they kind of just
did it again when they gave Sukuna the finger.
Yeah. The finger. Yeah. But I mean, they couldn't really, I guess they, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking.
I don't know what they were thinking.
At first it was a good plan. It was a good plan. Cause they gave him the finger. Right. And then, even though they gave him the one finger, it didn't really matter. I mean, it kind of helped attribute to it, because he that's when Sukuna
Jogo
or when Jogo
found
sensed
out.
It. Yeah, he was like, he could feel Sukuna's presence, and he was like, oh, snap. And then he ran to him. He was like, how many fingers did you give him? It didn't matter anyway. He was like, all right, I'm just going to give him the 15, the other 15 anyway, because apparently, eventually, no matter what, unless they get like a pact or he gets Yuji to actually give his body over to him, Yuji's going to get his body back. Eventually, his body's going to get strong enough to overcome Sukuna, and he's going to like keep his curse techniques and all his power. But for the time being, until his body catches up, Sukuna has like free will to do whatever he wants with his body. And so their plan was like smart at first. Like, they gave him the finger, and then they're like, he was like, all right, what do you guys want? I'll give you one finger's worth of audience. Basically, like, whatever you want me to do, if it's like at the price of one finger, I'll do it. And they were like, can you kill this man? He's taking over this dude named Ghetto. Can you free him? And then this is where they went wrong, when they started saying, if you do it, we'll tell you where,
yeah,
like,
tell
bro,
you where the other one is. Like, come on, we'll hook you up.
like, what the fuck are you talking about? I just gave you an opportunity, and now you're, like, making demands. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think if they would have just been like, can you kill this person for me? And that'll be it, right? I think he would have did it. He would have been like, all right, you know, it probably wouldn't take much. He probably was like, depending on how long it would take during the fight, he might be like, is this even worth it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if it turns out not to be worth it, he'll probably be like, I'm not doing this. Or if he feels like it's worth it, he'll do it, and then it'll just be it. But then they started making demands, saying, like, if you do this, we'll tell you where so-and-so. And he's like, when they started talking like that, I was like, yeah, they're done. They're done. They're dead. They're dead. And then,
So you weren't surprised that he killed them?
No, I wasn't surprised at all.
I was kind of surprised.
When they started making demands, when they started saying, like, we'll show you this if you do this, I was like, yeah, it's finished. But was, like, prior to them saying that, I thought he would have been open to doing it. Because he was like, what do you want me to do? Like, what? Like, obviously you brought me back for a reason. You gave me this finger for a reason. What do you want?
I wouldn't even try to do a deal with him. I don't think they knew what they were getting themselves into, really.
Nah, yeah. In the end, like, I don't think I would have did a deal with him. But if he gave you, if Sukuna himself came up to you and like, I can do one thing for you. What do you want me to do? You wouldn't say anything. You'd just be like, oh, I'm good.
I'll do a Jogo deal. I'll say nothing. I don't want anything, bro. Like, absolutely nothing. I was going to ask you, this is my last question. I was going to ask you, like, have you ever been, like, so scared that you couldn't breathe?
No, that's never happened to me. I've never been so scared.
Like, I can only think of one time that happened, and it was just because I thought someone, like, broke into the house.
Uh-huh.
Because I kept hearing, it was back when I lived in Ohio, I kept hearing, like, sounds in the garage, and then, mm-hmm. like, the door, like, slightly opened by itself. And I was like, oh, shit. And, like, I literally could not breathe. But, like, I was just like, what should I do? Like, I grabbed a knife and I started walking over super slow. Like, I was barely even breathing. Like, I was, like, in complete, like, instinct mode. Like, if right. someone makes me feel like that, I'm not going to try to, like, bargain to with them, try to make a deal here. I'm like, that was crazy. And do you think that Jogo will land the blow? I don't think he will. Unless he let him.
I think, so right now he has 15 fingers, right?
Yeah.
Out of 20, so.
That's like, what, two Jogos?
Yeah, two Jogos. If you want to do it like that. A little over two Jogos. So I think he can land one punch. Or not even a punch, he just said a blow. So I think he could get like some sneaky like tap that does no damage. But it'll count. He'll count it because he's like, you're true to your word, right? And he was like, yeah, basically.
He didn't make a pact either. So
yeah, he didn't make a pact either. So he could just be like, but I think he has integrity, which is like crazy to say.
You think
I feel
he
like
has integrity.
Yes, in terms of like a deal, I feel like he'll do it like a deal like this. I think he'll hold his word on a deal like this. I don't think he has any reason to be like, because he's like, you know, I have my own plans, but I'll work under you guys. But it's like, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to be able to do what he wants to do, regardless if he helps them. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't think what they're doing is going to impede him on his path of what he's trying to do. So he's just like, it's whatever. I'm going to be here for a long time anyway. So why not? You know what I mean?
I just feel like from what I've seen, like him slicing that girl into cubes in 1 second.
Yeah, but like, they was talking. They were talking too crazy, bro. They got to.
I'm not saying like he provoked them. I'm saying like just how fast and strong he is. Like I realistically can't see Jogo even touching him unless he lets him.
But like they're super weak compared to Jogo.
I mean, he also sliced Jogo
in that 1 second of his head. Yeah, the top of his head. Yeah.
And you know he did that. Like he could have aimed. He could have just
lower.
Killed him.
He could have.
Yeah, he could have killed him if he wanted to. Yeah, he could. So I don't know, man.
But I don't think he was on alert.
Who, Jogo?
Yeah, I don't think Jogo was like anticipating him to. You know what I'm saying?
He stepped back really fast because he already sliced his arm off, and then he stepped back.
Yeah, he stepped back even more, and then he got down on one knee.
Yeah, because he knew he couldn't run away. He's like, yeah, I'm getting on a knee. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. Personally, I don't think Sukuna would even let him touch him. I feel like he has too much pride to even let him do that.
Let him to be touched?
Yeah.
I mean, he did cut his hand off because he had his hands on him.
That's what I'm saying. He cut his hand off. Mihito touched him for like 1 second.
He touched his soul, though. He touched his soul. And you know, like if you kill, if you break their soul, then they're really dead. So he was like, all right, hey, like, don't try that shit with me. Because, you know, he transfigures souls and stuff. So he's like, we're not finna do that.
But all right. That's all I got. I gotta go pick this girl up. but
this girl.
I guess we can come back tomorrow. Undead Luck, Kenshin, and Attack on Titan. I did watch
it. You watched it?
Yeah, so we can talk about those, and then I'll just add them to this, what we did today.
All right.
So, yeah. So, yeah. What did you think about Undead Unluck, episode 5?
Could have did that way. So you should be like, all right, let's talk about Undead. I mean, I guess it's the same. You just sounded very, I don't know, like punched in. But the episode was pretty good. I know we're not doing like the recap thing anymore, which I think is fine. I mean, all they did was just explain like why they exist, which was pretty cool. And then he got some clothes as well, because the uniforms are like built to save them or be like a safety. Like they're in, you can't burn them, you can't cut them, you can't. They're just super strong. The uniforms are super strong. We find out that they take quests from this book, and that's like their whole goal, is to do these quests and then get rewards. And if they don't do the quest, then it unleashes a new rule on the earth. Is that what?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like the book was called like Apocalypse, and like there's like a creator or god behind it. And if they fail some missions, then there's penalties. And she named some like on the screen, like sex, language, race, death, sickness. And if they pass, then they get stuff. And they try to do them like strategically, like depending on the award and penalty.
So that was pretty cool. They showed the other characters, and they had their names blurred out, but if you had subtitles on, it said their name anyway.
Yeah, I was a little confused because the screen and the subtitles weren't matching.
And then also, I don't know why I just like put two and two together. Everybody, all of them are negators, but they all, like, literally all their powers just negate something.
Yeah.
Undead, Unluck, Unchange, Un-something. Like, it just prevents you from doing something. And so, I don't know what it took me, like, so long to realize that.
Do they all prevent? Like, what does Unluck's, like, what does she prevent?
Good luck.
She prevents good luck.
Yeah, like that's what she does. She gives you unlike bad luck, so it's, you don't get good luck. She takes away your good luck.
Okay, unchanged for that moment prevents change.
Yeah. Undead. Yeah. You know,
prevents
you
dying. You
can't die.
Okay. Yeah, that was basically it for this episode, and then he got the clothes.
Character. Yeah, and the UMAs are I looked it up. It's like unidentified mysterious animals or something like that. Because I'm like, they keep saying UMA. I was saying UMA. I'm like, what the fuck is UMA? And then I looked it up, and it's an acronym. So UMA. And then it was like, but some of the things, because they were like, you have to go hunt down this UMA. But some of them didn't look like animals. They looked like humans. I mean, I guess humans are technically animals.
Wait, aren't these all UMAs? Like, aren't they all UMAs too?
I'm not sure. It doesn't classify them as UMAs.
They were
saying,
like, there were UMAs and then there were artifacts, right?
Yeah. Artifacts are, like, the book. The book is an artifact.
I think they're UMAs. And then I thought it was interesting that we find out the reason behind them, because she was trying to, like, you know, like, equivalent like someone like trying to like talk to Congress, like she was like just trying to like pick their brains, I guess, and try to
why they're doing this,
like debate them on like why they're doing this, or like ask them why they're doing this and try to get them to stop, I guess, think it about it and stop. And then the way she broke it down, she was just like, yeah, we're here for a goal, and that's to kill,
eventually get God, to that God, basically. And kill him, because he's the one that keeps adding these rules, and they're like, if we can get to him, he'll stop adding these rules, and then we don't have to do these quests. But I still think, like, even if they kill the person making the rules, won't UMA still exist? And some UMAs are bad and some are good. They're like, some of them we don't even have to worry about. Yes. All right, I'm back.
Okay. Maybe it's like an Attack on Titan type of thing. Like, maybe if they get rid of the god, it'll just eliminate, like, all of them or all the rules. I was about to ask you, like, are you religious at all?
No, not really.
Okay. Because I was like, sickness obviously is, like, bad. But also,
sickness,
you could
death.
Argue is kind of necessary. Death is kind of necessary.
Sickness is not necessary. Is that
I mean,
what you
it's
said?
Kind of necessary for, like, overpopulation. Like, if no one got sick, like, we are already running out of resources. Like, if no one got sick or if no one died.
Yeah, but we're only running out of resources forever. Because people over, like, produce things. It's not because, like, you know what I'm saying?
There is a disproportionate amount of for
uses,
certain
yeah,
places
for,
and groups of people.
Yeah. Because, like, theoretically, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, over time, it'll be overpopulated, and then the population will outweigh the amount of resources needed to, you know, have that population. But then again, it's like, people can travel, like, we're figuring out ways to travel to different planets. So eventually we just, like, overpopulate the whole solar system, I guess. But there's infinite amount of space, you know, and then technology would continue to get better. And then you can travel across space for X amount of time and not have to worry about dying, per se. And then if there's no death, then you don't need resources. If there's
That's
no
true.
Sickness, you don't need resources. Language is necessary, though, because how can you communicate? Language is very broad. That could be any form of communication.
I think why I ask is if you're religious, because I think in the Bible, I'm not super religious either, but I think in the Bible somewhere, I think it was like, I don't know if it was Babylon or I don't know what specific story, but I remember God gave them different languages so that they couldn't build something together. I don't remember the specific story or what it was about, but I was going to ask, like, do you think these, like, differentiators, like language and race, like, do you think if they were not a thing, would it be better or worse?
Language, I feel like that's very broad, because, like I said, you need language to communicate. Like, if there's no language, like, does that mean no language or just one language? There's not multiple
Just
languages.
One language.
If there's just one language, then yeah, I think that'll be fine. Race, I think if there was no race, it would probably be better, because obviously people there's racists. But then you can say if there's, let's say there's no race, but there's different languages. Then you could be like a linguist. Like, people
yeah.
will find
I
a
mean,
reason,
there already
you know,
is
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People will find a reason to have conflict. But if there's only one language, there's only one race, then it narrows down, like, what you're going to fight over, per se, you know? And
okay.
So I definitely think one language, and then, like, the elimination of multiple languages and the eliminations of multiple races would, I don't know, it's always going to be like a thing. It might be like, okay, you have long hair, you have short hair. You can't grow hair. You have a beard, you don't have a beard. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'll always present other things, but it definitely would, I guess, cut down, or it might even increase I don't know, because I mean, racism is a very dumb thing. Like, because you're two different colors, you don't like each other. I was going to say it might potentially create something that's even more ridiculous, and people are like, oh,
yeah,
this makes
like
no
people
sense.
Are going to get even more imaginative about what
yeah,
they can
yeah. what they,
differentiate.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It varies, but I don't know. I don't think it'll really change anything, per se. I think the main thing is, like, sickness and death. If both of those are gone, then, you know, it's like, you can't kill anybody, and you can't have bad health, so.
Now we're forced to live with racists.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, also, another thing with sickness and death, I feel like Like, I'm a strong believer that, like, we can't be immortal, because if we were immortal, I feel like there would be, like, no sense of urgency.
To do anything?
To do, yeah. And I feel like we wouldn't progress as fast if we were all immortal. Or progress at all.
You think the idea of death increases the ability to do stuff?
Yes. I think time is a very, is, like, the strongest motivator.
I think it could be both ways. Because some people feel like, oh, I'm just going to die anyway. Why do anything?
Right.
So I think time is a good motivator, but I would have to see, like, who some of the people who created. I mean, conflict, I think, is the best motivator. Because the most the biggest technological advancements have come from war. And fighting.
True. Which is also related to death.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess it's like, I don't think it's necessarily time. Let's say you're immortal, but you can still die. You're immortal in the sense of, like, you can't die unless you're killed.
Okay.
I feel like that form of immortality is a lot more realistic, and I don't know, if you're just immortal, like, you can't take damage, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, but you can, like, if nothing bad happens, you don't get killed, like, you can't get sick, but somebody could come up and shoot you or stab you or something, you'll die. But you're immortal in the sense of, like, if you're just naturally living, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You won't. So I don't know. I don't know.
If that was the case, I feel like maybe it would be like freedom would be the biggest resource at that point, or something else. Like, if they can't take your life, they'll find something else to take.
Yeah. Like, make you work. Yeah. Keep you in captivity. So, yeah.
Okay. And then one last thing I have about undead, because of the clothes. The clothes, their thing was, like, they change into, like, whatever clothes, like, you desired the most.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, are there any clothes that you wanted but you've never been able to get?
Not really. It was this recent Stussy drop that just came out that it was a Stussy shirt. It literally just had a drop on Friday. It's the Apocalypse tee. It's sold out. I mean, I can still buy it, but I'm not paying $100 for a t-shirt. It's like, its regular price is like $40 to $60. But, you know, resellers and stuff. But, like, I wouldn't care that much. That wouldn't probably be my most wanted thing. I don't know. I don't think I have any article of clothing where I'm like, dang, I wish I could have got that, or I really want this super bad. You know?
For me, I'm kind of saying this, 'cause I'm not even big on clothes like that. I used to want the, I don't know if they're Balenciaga, I don't know what they are, but the shoes, but they had, like, the little, like, spikes the on them.
Oh.
When I was in high school, I wanted those. It was, like, the only thing I can think of right now. I feel like I used to want a Bay Putty, too. But that's it. That's it for me. Let's talk about Kenshin AOT. I guess we'll talk about Kenshin first to do AOT. This episode was kind of crazy. I didn't expect it to go
the way it went.
The way it went at all. I didn't think he was going to join up with him.
Actually join with him? I know they're there and they got the bombs, but you think they're going to actually, he's going to go out with the plan? Like,
I feel like it. I don't know. I feel like if he was going to stop him, he would have done it already.
Did it earlier? I mean, but he did talk in front of Kenshin. And Kenshin heard everything, so Kenshin's going to show up and probably stop it before it gets too out of hand.
And I feel
and
like
then another thing is, like, that dude was like, you two need to create the new, like, the new version of the army. And I thought it was going to be, like, I thought they were going to have different ideals on what that could be. But Sanosuke was like, yeah, we can do it. Like, I feel you. Their whole thing is they want to make all three or all the classes equal. Yeah, all four classes equal. And no matter what world you live in, bro, that's never going to happen. Like, there's always going to be classism of some kind, even in countries where there's like, I want to get the right name. Socialism?
Casteism?
No, I'm saying, like, you know, there's certain countries that have like forms of government where it's like everybody's supposed to be equal, everybody gets the same benefits, everybody gets,
yeah,
you know, I think that is socialism.
That's socialism. I'm pretty sure.
And I'm pretty sure there's still classism in socialism. Like, you know, there's
always gonna be something.
Stuff. It's always gonna be something. It's always gonna be something. But I feel like he was trying to show him at that party, like, hey, you know, people are still happy, even though there's different classes and stuff, you still have pockets of areas where people can be together and enjoy life and not have to worry about certain things, you know? But
I feel like, yeah, like, I feel like it's just not possible to have a society where everyone is completely equal, because there's always going to be something to compare to each other on, and I don't think you can make everyone happy or the same level of happy, because there's always going to be someone who wants more or less. And I feel like it kind of takes away individuality too. But what was I going to say? Did you think when he was like looking at the paintings, did you think that it was the kid he grew up with?
Yeah.
That was my first guess.
I instantly knew. I'm like, oh, this has to be the guy. Because like, why would he be drawing this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what the heck? This is very, you know.
Like first,
you said, like, nobody else would know this. Who would know this?
Right. At first, I thought it was a chance that it was someone who, like, just happened to be around at the time. But then I thought about it, and I was like, because I forgot this character was even a thing at first.
Like, we mentioned something about it, though. Remember, I was like, I wonder what happened. Where I said, I was like, I wonder what happened to the other kid since he's grown up. Like, where is he at now?
Yeah. But I forgot about him for a second.
And another thing I was going to say today is, like, it's funny how we were mentioning how he hasn't really gotten an episode. The kid didn't really get an episode, but they've all gotten episodes now. Like, the kid got his own episode. He's gotten his own episode. What's her name? Might get her own episode, too, eventually. Even though, like, they all had episodes prior to, like, the begin or the rest of the show. Like, she was introduced having a dojo, and then the dude, you know, the old man was acting like he was a nice dude and her servant, and then he secretly got the deed and took over. Like, that was her episode, you know.
That was like the introduction to the show.
The introduction, though. Yeah. And then the kid, we saw him, he was in the Yakuza or whatever, right? Under them, like this fake gang, and then he was like, I'm done with this. And then that's when Kenshin showed up and saved him. That was like kind of his little episode introduction. Like, they all got their introductions, and I think they're all going to get, not to say this is his exit, like, Sanosuke is going to be done after this, but he was saying, like, Kenshin, you're going to have to come after me, because I'm going to be a criminal.
Terrorist. Yeah. Literally. Do you think... No, wait. Yeah, you already asked that. But this guy gave me school shooter vibes from the minute that he walked in.
Yeah. Really?
And I was
he was
like,
sitting in the dark, and it was just like...
Yeah, I was like...
And he opened up the floor. He was like, I got all these bombs.
Yeah, as soon as he said that, as soon as he opened up the floor, I was like, oh my God, what's going on? I knew he was crazy. He just seemed unhinged. But I was going to ask, like, what would you do if you ran into someone, like a childhood friend or someone from years ago, and like they were like just weird?
And they were just weird. I'd just be like, yeah, I don't even know you, dog. Because I don't know you. You got to think, they've been apart for what, 10 years?
Yeah.
A lot can change in 10 years. The person you knew when they were 9 and the person when they're 19 probably aren't even really the same person. Even though I knew you when I was younger, that doesn't mean I know you now. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot can change over time, and people change over time. So,
do you ever feel a sense of, like a pressure kind of to keep a relationship going for someone who you've known for a long time, even though necessarily you might not
like agree
have
with
a
them,
lot in common
eye
with
to
them?
Eye. No, not really. I don't.
I feel like I like, sometimes feel that. Yeah, it's like, what for? But then I feel like, I don't know, sometimes it just feels like for the sake of just like keeping something going, or like
that's a terrible reason.
You've known them for like so long that like you kind of want to keep the relationship, or like, I don't know. It's just like, I feel like it's the same thing with like family too. Like there's a lot of family members that I don't really talk to, or cousins I'm not close to per se. Mm-hmm. But like we spend a lot of time together as children, and sometimes I feel compelled to like reach out to them and talk with mm-hmm. them, and some of them reach out to
it's not wrong to like check in, you know, every now and then, but I'm saying like in terms of necessarily having that same kind of relationship, I don't think it's necessary. I think it's okay yeah. to be like, hey, what's going on, you know, how you been, just checking in and stuff, but I don't think it's, I wouldn't feel necessary to be, yeah, bro, we're still best, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're still best yeah. friends, we're not, you know, like, a lot has changed. But it's still okay to be, like, cool with them. I'm not saying you gotta just dead, like, cut them off. Unless it's, like, something extreme. Like, they're doing stuff that you don't agree with at all. You know, like, it's a completely different person. Like, if I was to meet somebody like him, and he's trying to, like, be a terrorist, like, bro, I don't know you.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know you.
It's, with them, it's a little weird, because, like, they went through such a, like, traumatic like life events together. Young.
But even then, they weren't like, that group wasn't a terrorist group. Like they were doing stuff for like that village. And then they got
Revolutionary Army.
Yeah, the Revolutionary, they were doing stuff for the village. Like they helped them get, it was like, I forgot. Remember they got blackmailed into being the ones that were told like they stole from you, when right. it really wasn't them. Like they were doing stuff for the community. He's literally going out his way to blow up like a police station who also does stuff for the community. And that's the one guy who kept coming up to Kenshin asking him if he wants to join. Like he's the one that's trying to still, you know, maintain this era of peace or whatever it is and make sure everybody is okay. He's not trying to oppress people, but they're about to go, you know, like blow that place up. And it's always like, it's only so much you can do. Like obviously there's probably still like oppression and corruption in that government, even though it's like a new era. And even though everybody's not abusing their power, there's going to be certain people that abuse their power. And even if that guy is a good guy and he's trying to make a change, there's only so much he can do. So I guess I can see where the kid, he's a grown man now with the bombs, is like, we just got to start everything over, like fresh. But it's like, bro, some stuff just isn't possible, bro. Like,
he's definitely a maniac. There's just like, he's crazy. For one. But like, would you ever, okay, let's say you're a Sanosuke, or even in real life, and like someone like, oh, what's up, man? And then they take you to your house to like, try to catch up, and then you find out they're playing a terrorist attack. Like, what do you do? Do you snitch on them?
I mean, if I know a dude like Kenshin, I'm like, hey bruh, go ahead, pack him up, bro. Go ahead, go pack him up.
You couldn't do it yourself?
I mean, I probably could if I'm like Sanosuke, yeah, because I'm pretty sure Sanosuke probably could trash him. But he's super smart. That kid is super smart. Like, he's very good with technology and intricate. Like, he can handle guns. He can create bombs. But I don't know if his hand-to-hand combat is really like that, though. So, I mean, you know, I mean, I'll probably do it myself or take it into my own hands, but.
So you would make sure that he's handled.
Yeah, yeah. Like. If I can't talk him out of it, like, especially in the moment of, like, yeah, I don't think that's right, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, nah, I'm still going to do it. I'm like, all right, well, I'll see you later. Just know, I'm not even going to let him know that somebody's going to, you know, I'll just be like, all right, that's cool. And then, you know, go about my business. So.
I feel like he threw that party to try to convert him.
He was making it seem like, is this your last meal? He's like, you did this to be your last meal. He was like, nah, this won't be my last meal. I just wanted to have fun or something like that. So I think it was a little bit of both. That's why I'm thinking like he's not going to actually go through with it. But we'll see.
I can't see him going through with it either. based on his character. I just think it's weird that he's let it go this far, is my thing, which makes me feel like maybe he is thinking about it, because it is a really important thing to him, like the whole army.
And we got some backstory on Sinosuke. Like, he ran away from his dad was a farmer, and he just ran away and joined the Revolutionary Army or whatever as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, his parents are probably like, where's my son at? Like, their 9-year-old just is gone.
What the hell going on here? I think I don't got anything else for it. Just
I did like when he drew Kenshin, he didn't give him a face. It was just a scar, because he's like, I can't see this person. Which is true. Like, nobody really knows his backstory, except for like the policeman and Kenshin himself, and like some of the people he comes across. Like the one guy, he was like, we fought together. Like, he knew his past, but everybody he interacts with now, for the most part, doesn't know who he truly was and what he truly did. And he seems like he doesn't like that he did what he did, because he tried to change his life, because he was like a mass murderer. But like, he wasn't killing with, at least from what we know, he wasn't killing with like the intent to kill. Like, I'm killing you because I like killing people. It was like, I'm fighting for this cause, and I'm like the top, you know, soldier. And I just get shit done. So when they send me in, it's, you know, it's just, it's wraps. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, but it is interesting, because we don't really think about it. Yeah, we don't think about it, because he's like, it's his show. But really, we don't know him. We don't know his character. We just know that he's like reformed. And it's only been, what, a couple years of him like this? And the one dude who used like the put her in a genjutsu. He was like, yeah, you're gonna go back. And like, it's always like little bits and pieces of people saying like, you're gonna revert back to who you really are. You're not this person. You're not, you know what I'm saying? Which I don't think it'll happen. I don't think he'll revert back to his old ways. Maybe at the end of the show, he'll have to like kill somebody. But you know, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting that they did that.
That was interesting. And I still keep thinking he's going to kill someone, and then he doesn't. It doesn't seem like many people have done terrible things to Kenshin's friends, and he still hasn't killed anyone.
Yeah. The one dude got killed, though. He didn't kill him, but he got sentenced to death with the Gatling gun.
Oh, him.
Because they were like, the charges of distributing opium is death.
Yeah.
So... unless he just pops back up in the series somehow, like he's still in jail. They haven't killed him, because it's never been like shown on screen, but I think he'll probably end up dying if the police do the right thing. Or he'll bribe him, like, I got so much money, I can give you guys money if you set me free.
I don't think they'll do that. But that doesn't count as Kenshin killing him. Like, he didn't like slice him in half or nothing.
But he got him arrested, though. He didn't kill him, but like, he, you know, put him into a situation where he can die.
As he deserves.
Yeah.
To me, at least. He seemed pretty irredeemable anyway. That dude's drug distributor, beats women, shoots people. I don't think he's going to get any better. But speaking of people not getting better, I know you already have seen the finale.
Oh, yeah.
For years ago. How'd you feel about it animated?
Animated, they did do a little bit of a better job of, like, pacing. Because you can imagine just reading it, especially the parts when he was talking to Mikasa. You're probably like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
I was like
that. I mean, you're probably still like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it. But the ending was just bad to me, bro. I was on Twitter. It's crazy because I told you, like, I didn't see anything about anime stuff. Now I'm starting to see more stuff on Twitter about anime stuff. I think it's just because I've been, like, you know, like, clicking on it. Because, you know, it compiles your algorithm towards that kind of content. So I've been clicking and just looking at tweets, and just, I don't ever really, reply. Or I'm not the person to argue, but I am. I like seeing, not I am the person to argue, but I am someone who likes seeing other people's opinions and what they think about certain things. Because, like, one of the big things is that people are saying it's group hate on the ending, and that people are only doing this because everybody else is saying they don't like the ending. But instantly when I read it, I didn't look at anybody else's opinion. I read it and I'm like, bruh, that junk was trash. And then I went to go see, you know, like what other people were saying. And other people were also saying it was trash. So I'm like, all right. I mean, it was trash. It wasn't good. The fighting was awesome, though. Like, all the previous Titan shifters showing up and even ones we never seen before fighting. That was pretty cool. I mean, there's a whole lot of plot armor, if we're being honest. Realistically, obviously the show is unrealistic, but they're not surviving. Like, they're dead. No. Everybody is dead. There's like 30, 50 plus Titans. Titan shifters, like with actual powers, not just dumb Titans. Titans that can actually use abilities fighting, what, five people? Five people and then a cart Titan and an armored Titan. Like, bro, they're done. It's they're clapped. Like, what are we talking about?
It was tons of plot armor.
Tons of plot armor. Like, my whole thing was I didn't like how, because the show's been, for the most part, it's been very, very, other than Reiner surviving so much, the plot armor hasn't been super crazy. You know, people die. Whoever's listening, if this is a clip, they'll be like, there is tons of plot armor, and then it lists a whole bunch of instances when there was plot armor. But for the most part, from my remembrance and what I seen, I don't feel like Attack on Titan is one of those animes that goes crazy with the plot armor. You know, like, things just kind of happen in the way they happen. I'm trying to think of like a crazy plot armor moment outside of like Reiner surviving stuff.
I can't really think of any either off the top of my head.
I think Aaron first got eaten and he didn't know he was a Titan shifter, but he was still alive inside the Titan.
Yeah, that was probably one.
But aside from that, I can't think of anything else. And then I also want to say this. I think the show went downhill when they introduced Ymir and gave her a backstory. Like, before, we just knew Ymir was like the creator of Titans. We didn't know how she got her power, who she was. She was just, you know, the person who created them. And then once we got the backstory, that's when I think the show started going downhill, because it didn't make any sense.
More questions than answers for me.
Yeah. And then it's like her reasoning that I didn't like. I don't know. It was just it's a bunch of stuff that doesn't make sense. And it has more questions, like Mikasa being the answer to stopping this. I'm not understanding. Is it because she killed her love, and Ymir didn't get her opportunity to kill the person she loved? But the person she loved was somebody who literally abused and raped her and like took her freedom and forced her to, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's like Stockholm syndrome. Like, why do you love this man who has done nothing but bad to you and force you to have his kids? I'm not understanding where this love is coming from. And he doesn't even love you. He just wants you because you can create Titans for him that are related to him that he can use for his army. So that was like, I'm not like, my brain.
Yeah, I was
like,
really confused on that.
I'm like, what? And why is Mikasa the answer? And then my whole thing with Aaron is like, he was saying his brain is like, he didn't say mush, but it basically was like, he was like, I don't know what's going on. Like, the past, the present, and the future is all happening at once. And I don't know what's what. Like, I'm talking to you right now and I don't know what's happening right now. Like, this could be the past. It could be the future. I don't know where I'm at, you know? And he was like, I've tried multiple times to stop or change the outcome. But have you really? I don't think you have, because their plan prior to this was actually a really good plan. Like, Armin and them, they were like, we'll give them a little bit of the rumbling. Like, we won't hurt anybody. We'll just show them, like, this is what we can do. And if you just stand off and you don't mess with us, we won't use it. And they were like, we'll also be trying to build relationships with other countries, because prior to this, Marley did like their whole propaganda thing to turn the whole world against, you know, Eldia or Paradise, I want to say.
Right.
Because remember, they were like, the rest of the world was getting fed up with Marley because they were like,
Tiber and the announcement.
Yeah, announcement. And he was like, we have to kill them because they're coming after us. And then that's when Aaron basically sent them the letter and they all showed up that day and they just, you know, did their thing. And he killed Willie Tiber and he got the one Titan power, I forgot her name, Warhammer Titan power, and that's when they just like killed a bunch of innocent people who were just watching and a bunch of other stuff. It was just a whole lot of things that could have went that could have happened differently. And then a lot of people were saying Aaron's true goal was to have his, like, his friends live long lives and, like, not have to worry about, I guess, dying. But it's like, dude, you could have did that. I mean, my whole thing is like, all right, at the end of the day, right, the cycle of violence and war is never going to end. Like, humans are always going to have conflict of some sort, right? Cool.
Right.
And so if that's the case, would you kill 80% of the population, right?
Right.
And your goal, like, yeah, it's not making sense. It's not making sense as you say it out loud. You kill 80% of the world's population, and then you allow your friends to save the 20% remaining.
Pack them.
And now you're supposed to, everybody, you want them to look at them as like heroes. Mind you, you come from the same place. All your friends, you come from that island. From the outside looking in, all people know is that the people on that island are devils, right? That's how they view them. They're devils, they're titans, and they're just bad. And then the worst nightmare is that they do the rumbling. That's literally the worst nightmare of the world, right? You do that. You kill 80% of the world's populations. And then you have your friends stop it. But those same people are from the same place you came from where they already hate you. So they're like, okay, you just stopped a problem you caused. We still hate you. You killed half, like more than half the world. Why am I going to look at you as a savior?
And that
you
is know what kind of happened, isn't it? Like they kind of still... They still yeah, weren't really messing still, with them.
Yeah, people still don't mess with them. And the other 20% is still trying to... He basically even... Or his thing was like, I basically got rid of the Titans, so now it's an even battlefield. But they're 50 years behind in technology.
And aren't they also like Marleyans? Like, didn't he create like the Marleyans, basically? Or not the Marleyans, like the Neo Errants, the Neo Jaegers.
Yeah, the Errant, yeah, the Errant, I forgot what their name, but they're like, they have that army. Yeah, the Jaegers, yeah. Yeah, the Jaegers, that's their new army. And it's like, bro, you guys are 50 years behind in technology compared to the rest of the world. And then the world was already getting to a point, like prior to the rumbling, where like Titans were becoming obsolete because technology is getting so advanced they could immobilize the Titans easily. Like, remember when, I'm going to say the start of the last season when it showed the Marleyans' wars. Point of view. Yeah, the wars, yeah. And they dropped the Titans, but they had the little gun that, like, shot or that completely shot Reiner's arm off, and it, like, basically immobilized. Like, they had guns and giant, like, tanks that could shoot bullets and stop Titans fully.
Yeah.
So the rest of the world is catching up, and they're fed up with Marley because Marley is oppressing other people too. They're using their Titans to try to take over other land to increase their empire. And so it's like, you guys are 50 years in the past. You no longer have your Titans, and the rumbling is not a threat anymore. So the last remaining 20%, after some time, you know, obviously they got to get their shit together, come together. Which you saw in the end credits, they just nuked the fucking paradise. They nuked it. They just completely destroyed the place. So it's like, what really happened?
I assume that there was war going on all over the place. So not that's just what
I think it was ongoing. I feel like it was ongoing. It might have been like a Cold War kind of thing where like nobody's trying to step on anybody, but technology is advancing. And then it just got to a point where it's like, all right, we're over it. We're gonna get rid of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think it would have been a better ending if he just literally killed everybody and then the remaining, the Eldians are the last people on Earth. They're living their lives. And he only had 3 years left, four years left to live anyway, right? So in 4 years, he's going to die. In like 6 or 7 years, Armin's going to die. Mikasa's going to live out the rest of her life in old age. So is, well, I don't know. I mean, theoretically, if he would have completed the rumbling, he probably would end up killing his friends too, if he had to. But I don't know. I just thought the ending was bad. I thought a whole bunch of stuff that happened didn't make any sense. Like, there's so many other ways to do this, and then it was making it seem like he had no choice because you're saying like, I tried to fix it, but it's already set in stone. Like, what Ymir wants to do is what Ymir wants to do. You know, like, this is how she thinks it's going to end. And I still don't understand, like, what her end goal was. Like, how did Mikasa free her by killing Eren? Like, what was that? You know, that wasn't explained. I don't get how.
Yeah, that... Ymir is just confusing. I didn't understand the Ymir thing at all.
And then you got the giant centipede that's like life, and it's like, what is this? That's why I was saying, like, when they introduced Ymir and they explained the Titan powers, that's just stupid. It was this little girl. Well, the way that, like, Zeke explained it, it was this little girl that fell into this hole, and she didn't want to die, so she created this way of living so she could live forever, and that created the paths, and then she created a body that was, like, bigger than her body that couldn't be, like, killed or damaged or whatever, so that created a Titan. So I don't know if that's saying, like, Ymir's version of when she came in contact with that centipede thing, this is what she envisioned to be her way of living forever, so that's what manifested is Titans. Because if that's the case, then that at the end, you know, when the kid with his dog is walking in the tree, he might have a different idea of how to live forever or whatever his thing is. And it might not be a Titan that is formed. It might be something else. You know what I'm saying? But they didn't explain that. They didn't explain if the reason Titans exist is because Ymir's idea of forever living was being in this huge body that has this connected path with people related to her or what. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not enough explanation. It's just a lot of open-ended and... what is this? You know?
I was very confused. I wanted to ask you, though, would you, like, say you're, like, Aaron's friends, would you be able to kill someone if the world was at stake? Like, your best
kill
friend?
Kill my friend if the world
whoever
was at stake?
Whoever your best friend is, would you be able to kill them if the world was at stake?
I mean, I'm gonna be honest, in their situation, I'm not even understanding why they're trying to save the rest of the world.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, what has the rest of the world done for them to want to save them?
Well, they haven't even seen the rest of the world. They've only lived in one place.
They explored, they seen, like, they did travel. They traveled, because nobody knew they were Eldians. Remember, they were going around, they were in Marley, they went to a few different other places, and they seen the world, and they heard multiple people around the world talk about their hatred for Eldians. Not only Marley.
Right.
Because remember, Aaron was trying to, like, he was trying to understand how the rest of the world views, because he was living, like, as a nomad in various different places. And he came to the conclusion, this is another thing. They said he came to the conclusion that the only answer is the rumbling, right? But then we get to the end, he's like, I didn't have a choice. I didn't make this choice. But you get what I'm saying? Like, stuff is not making sense.
Maybe it's so confusing because he's living in the past, present, and the future. Because that confused me.
That is confusing. But remember, he literally left and he was living on his own just to see, like, different perspectives from everybody. Like, see how other people are living, what they think. Before, because right. He was like, I don't want to kill everybody, but let me go around and just, like, kind of, you know, be a bum on the street or live these various different lives and see how everybody else is living and what life has to be, what life is like outside of these.
I don't
worlds.
Know.
And it's then like, he was like, he said, because he sent the letter. Remember, he sent the letter. He was like, all right, show up. Because he was gone for a long time. They didn't know where he was at. He just disappeared. And then he sent him the letter and then they pulled up. And then that's when they, you know, he did the massacre at the presentation. But he was gone exploring. Like, he was literally gone trying to figure out what life is like outside of the walls and if this is what he wants to do.
But the thing and about that, I was going to say, is like, if he always was technically in the future, he always knew the decision that he was going to make.
Exactly. So why did he even do this? Which is the problem with this whole time travel shit. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, why did you introduce this?
He was always set on this.
That's what I'm saying. And then the whole thing with the time travel, right, is like, specifically with the Titan, with being the Attack Titan, right? The Attack Titan can see the memories of all future Titans and all past Attack Titans, right? So remember when his dad and not his mom, but his dad's wife, the royal family woman, they both got thrown off the cliff, and then the owl was like, just make sure you save Armin and Mikasa. And then Grisha was like, what are you talking about? And then the owl was like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, my time is pretty much over. I'm gonna let you eat me, so you know you get your, you know, you get the Attack Titan powers, and then do what you got to do. Because he was seeing Eren's memories, right? That's what the owl was seeing. He was seeing what Eren saw, and Eren, right? This, which is the weird thing, because like they're saying Eren knew this was gonna happen since he was a kid. Because remember, he woke up and he was crying on the tree. They connected always back to that. He was crying on the tree, and then Mikasa was like, "What are you crying for?" He's like, "I don't know." But mind you, he doesn't have the Attack Titan powers yet. So does that mean anybody who is going to get the Attack Titan powers, before you get the powers, you can see the future in the past? Like, that doesn't make sense. How can I see something? How can I use a power I don't have yet? You know what I'm saying? Like, how am I, let's say, for instance, I'm going to become the Attack Titan when I turn like 20 or something. When I'm 8 years old, I'm able to see in the future and the past, even though I don't have the power until I become 20. That doesn't make sense. I should only be able to see this. That makes zero sense. It makes no sense. And so it's like, I don't know. He didn't cook, bro. Isayama did not cook, bro. He was cooking, and then he was like, you know what? I'm just gonna throw this shit in the fire and throw it in the trash and set it on fire. I don't know, bro. I don't know. Like, the show just went. It changed. It completely went like a different direction, because obviously it was just super, like, nobody knew what was going on. Like, when Titans were, nobody, we didn't know anything. And then once he started answering questions, I feel like this, that's when the story started becoming worse. Like, as we started learning more and more about like the world and actually what's going on, it took away from the mystique and also like how good the show is, because some of the explanations just don't make sense to me. That's how I feel. Like, I feel like the show was better when we didn't know anything.
I like the part where they started revealing, like, the whole rest of, like, that there was other
people. Yeah, there's another world outside. They're in walls and they're trapped. Like, that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
All that is good. What this, I don't like is when
they start Ymir adding came time play. Traveling.
Yeah, time traveling. And then Eren, they also said Eren is the reason his mom died. He was like, we need Bertholdt to live, so I made her.
Like, that was crazy. Like,
that makes no, like, what are we, what? Like, what are we talking about, bro? Like, what are,
like,
we talking
kinda,
about?
It kind of, like, when he, it makes Eren, like, a completely different character when you add that he orchestrated the entire thing. Even though while we were watching it in present time in, like, I don't know, like 2014, whenever it was coming out, he wasn't aware of that he was orchestrating the entire thing, but he was, because he was controlling everything from the future. Yeah. It's just weird. It's just, I don't know. It just paints him as just like, I don't know, like a villain. Like, he was a villain the entire time, but he didn't know he was a villain.
Yeah. And then I didn't like how, which people have, like, they're called shippers, right? In animes, they put people together.
Yeah.
Like, they're in a relationship. Like, the whole Mikasa and Eren being a thing,
bro,
that is so random. Like, it literally is random. It's so random. Like, there's never been any inkling, any foreshadow, nothing. Like, anytime. There's been no advances from Eren. Like, obviously, we know Mikasa likes Eren. Like, we know that. But from our important point of view, Eren is like, nah, you know, I don't like you at all like that. I don't really, you know, like, you're like a, you're almost like a mom to me, damn near. Like, you take care of me, you look after me. Like, this big sister kind of, you know, kind of vibe, right?
Yeah, Mikasa's kind of like, we know she loved him, I guess, as like a childhood friend, per se. But, like, I don't know. She barely even talked.
Yeah, she barely talked, but she always did everything for Eren. Like, I could see the lens of Mikasa liking Eren, but I don't see the lens of Eren liking Mikasa. You know what I'm saying? I don't see that. And then for him to be like, I don't want her to love any other man.
That was nuts.
Like, I'm like, all right, bro. I'm like, all right, bro. What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, what's really going on?
What's this happening? Part really had me confused. I was like, wait, what's he saying? What's
going on? And then, like, and then they ran away for 3 years or something like that. He was like, why can't we just live on this farm or outside these walls?
I was so confused.
That's what I don't know. I don't know if that's real or if that's a fabricated memory. Is that a fake memory? Is that real?
Because I know the scarf thing was a real thing.
Right.
So I guess it had to be a real thing.
And then another thing that's a plot hole, right? So the Ackermans, right? They're supposed to be non-affected by the Eldians and like the Royal Vow and stuff like that. Like they remember it. That shit doesn't work on them, right?
Right.
Remember that was the whole thing. Like they know the truth past and they're like they're the Royal Guards for the Eldians and the Vow and stuff like that doesn't work on them. Like the Eldian powers does not work on them to change their memories. But somehow Ymir was able to, like, apparently the headaches that Mikasa was getting was Ymir, like, doing something to her to give her those headaches, which doesn't make sense because Ymir's not supposed to be able to affect someone who is an Ackerman. Her powers don't work on her. So why are they giving her headaches from... It's just, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense. It was a complete L, bruh. I don't know what he was doing. His original ending, he wanted everybody to die. Literally, the whole cast was supposed to die. All the people we know were supposed to die. That was the OG ending he wanted. Prior to, I think they were saying before the show became super popular, he was like, oh, I might have to change this ending. But originally, everybody that we knew was supposed to die.
I wouldn't have been mad at that.
I would have been better. That would have been better than what we just got. Way better. If the Marlins would have won, that would have been way better. I'm going to say that.
You want the Marlins to win?
I said if the Marlins did win, it would have been way better. Because then, even if the Marlins do win and they get to attack the Founding Titan powers back, I don't think it would matter. I mean, they could have probably did the rumbling too. And just, but I don't know, bro. I just feel like.
And then he cut. And I feel like if he just did the euthanization plan.
The same that he would have lived. They would have. That's what I'm saying. Like, both those plans were better. Like,
I don't get that.
His whole thing was like, nah, we not gonna do that. But everybody can literally live their lives out. And, you know, you just won't be able to reproduce and make more kids. You remember we were talking about this? I was saying, like, I don't think that plan is really that bad. Like, obviously, it sucks that you can't reproduce and you can't have children, but you live your life. Like, you live your life, and everybody around you is gonna finish their life out. And, you know, then your race is just gonna become extinct. But
at that time, I had the opinion that I could see why you wouldn't want to do that because it's kind of like messed up that I have to stop reproducing because y'all like hate us.
Right.
And I kind of saw it as like bending the knee. But like it at this point,
that was way better. You killed 80%
invalid.
Right. You killed 80% of the world's population. And mind you, most of those people don't even care about you, bro. They just they're literally innocent bystanders. Like
you're like
you
a folktale. To them, like, you didn't even know they existed.
Yeah,
really.
Like what? We don't even know. Like we just know Marley got Titans. We don't even know what's on that island, bro. We never been there. We just know we can't step foot there, and we're not supposed to go there. That's all we know. That's literally all the outside worlds know. And then you got like regular people who aren't on either sides, just dying. Like you, I don't get it, bro. And it's like you could have selectively. This is another thing I don't get. He's supposed to. So when he encountered Zeke, right? Now he has the Founding Titan, like he can utilize the Founding Titan powers because him and Zeke are in contact. But then he started to remember he turned everybody inside the when they first started fighting, everybody inside, even the people like his Pixis, you remember Pixis, the bald dude with the crow's feet?
Yeah.
He turned all of the like scouts and everybody in the military police into Titans. And they were literally eating people and killing people inside the walls that weren't Marlians, like killing innocent Eldians inside his own land. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, you're supposed to be able to command each Titan what they're supposed to do. So you can be like, don't attack Eldians, only attack Marlians. But these Titans are just running around killing innocent people who live inside the walls too. Like, I'm not understanding, like, the thought process behind this. You're killing literal people that you're fighting for just to kill them.
There was a lot of confusion here.
Like, there was, like, no planning. Like, I just don't get it, bruh. I mean, at the end of the day, when he was talking to Armin, he was like, I don't know, maybe I'm just a terrible person. I'm just a stupid kid. Because, I mean, he's only, what, like, 17?
Yeah. That was about another thing I was going to say, maybe because...
I was going to say, he is a 17-year-old trying to figure out how to save the world. But he's really just a dumbass. Like, you're fucking stupid, bruh. Like, you're so stupid. You're so stupid. Like, oh, my God. Like, he is dumb. Like, I almost can't fault him because, like, he doesn't know any better. What honestly, what kind of education has he gotten outside from we fight Titans and I use ODM gear.
Yeah.
And make, you know what I'm saying?
Fight Titan. ODM like, gear.
Like, he doesn't, I don't think he has any extra critical thinking or capabilities. You know what I'm saying? He's not like this crazy character. Armin has some, Armin can think. He's pretty smart. He has plans and stuff like that. And same when, you know, like...
If Armin was the main character, things would have been a lot different.
Yeah, it would have been a lot different. I think Armin would have devised a way better plan. And but then it goes back to, did Aaron really have any free will, or is this all Ymir? Which I'm not understanding either, because apparently he was able to break Ymir out of her shackles and use her power. And because remember, Zeke was like, I couldn't figure it out, but whatever Aaron figured out allowed him to use Ymir's powers, and I'm just here. But then we find out, nah, he's not using Ymir's powers. Ymir is still in control. She just wants to see him die by the hands of Mikasa. Which is like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not getting it. And then I also don't get, like, why is the vow from the king so strong that Ymir is still under this vow? But because the whole idea was that if Zeke and Aaron come into contact, Zeke can break the vow because he's royal blood and she'll listen to him since he's also royal blood, right? But that wasn't the case. When Zeke got in there and he told her to do something, she didn't listen to him. But she listened to Aaron because apparently Aaron had a better understanding of who she was and what she wanted. But then we later on find out that's not the case. Ymir is doing whatever she wants and she's acting on her own will, and she just gave Aaron the power just to give Aaron the power to see him die for Mikasa, which is like, what? It's like, what is happening? So I don't know, bro. L ending.
I personally, like, I didn't, after I guess a couple days of after watching it, I think this was the only part that really threw me off a bit, but everything else I guess I was okay with. Like, it was animated well. I don't know how it was to, like, read it. But, like, I thought it was animated well. Voice actors did a great job. And the story was confusing, but I wasn't too mad at it. I don't know. I feel like when you make such a convoluted story, it's probably hell trying to end it. So I kind of cut him some slack. I don't know why he did all this time travel stuff, though. Because it just makes it harder.
It's just like, I don't know, man. I just don't like all the plot.
I like
holes.
The message behind it as well. At least with, like, that they're just going to keep fighting.
Really?
Well, not necessarily that I like that humans are always going to keep fighting, but, like,
it's realistic. That's realistic. It is realistic. But I think, knowing that, why not just kill the rest, like, all 100% of the population and just let your people live, and then they fight amongst themselves?
He could have did that. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
was like, wait, we like these characters. Can't kill them. There needs to be some silver lining or something. I don't know.
And then he got rid of... This is the last thing I'm going to say. I'm going to end it right here. So remember when I was saying... This is a long time ago, so you probably don't remember. But remember I was like, if Aaron can use Ymir to, like, change certain things about all the Eldian people, like, if you can stop them from being able to produce, why can't you stop them from turning into Titans? I feel like I said this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why isn't that just the key? Just take away everybody's Titans powers.
Right.
And then after he dies, and I guess Ymir is set free, Titans cease to exist. So why didn't you just kill Ymir inside the paths? Why was that never, like, a thought? Maybe if we kill her, it'll stop.
My head's spinning.
That's all I'm saying.
Maybe it was always Ymir. Maybe Ymir was always the one, and it wasn't Aaron.
I mean, she's stupid, too. Slave girl. She's literally doesn't... It's like, bro, what? Bro. I'm done. All right, next. That's the last show, right? This was the last show?
Yeah, that was
okay.
It.
Okay, yeah. I don't got nothing else. The fighting was awesome. The animation was cool. The story itself, the ending was trash.
Oh, wait. And one more thing that I forgot about. I kind of set myself up for this because back, who knows when, 2, 3, 4 years ago, I saw what I thought were manga panels. Manga. I said that's so weird. Manga panels of like Eren fighting like all the like everyone basically that he fought. But like I thought I saw him fighting them in like his Attack Titan form and like using different powers and stuff, like fighting them like 1v5. So I came into this with the expectation that there was going to be like some grand battle.
Between
like Eren and his Attack Titan form using like the Warhammer powers and all the powers he had versus like all five of them. And I thought Reiner was going to get like this different form and all this other stuff for some reason, because I got confused. So I was a little disappointed about that, because he just stayed in the Founder and just like summoned a bunch of different Titans. But
yeah,
I just got my expectations up for something that wasn't real. So it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Falco showing up was cool.
Oh, yeah, as a bird. The bird Titan.
That was kind of plot armor, too, though.
Oh, yeah, him being a bird and being able to fly. But then we did see other... There's other Titans that were, like, animals. The Okapa.
Yeah.
And then the other dude was a bull with horns.
That was interesting.
So.
But yeah, that's all I got. Yeah.
Listen, that's it for me, man. That's
I feel like you go all day.
I could just keep going down the line to like what is wrong. And I'm literally trying to like I watch some videos because I'm like I want somebody to explain to me how the ending is good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is good about the ending? Other than like it shows that the cycle is never ending, which is realistic. I'm okay with that. That's not my problem. Like, my problem is not humans would continue to fight no matter what. I'm okay with that. I understand that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get that. And they were saying his goal was to rid the earth of Titans and allow his friends to live long lives. And I feel like you could do that in other ways than killing 80% of the world's population. That's just me, though. And I'm going to leave it at that. And that's all I'm going to say.
He definitely could have did it a different way. I feel like, yeah, like, I feel like Zeke, not that he died for no reason. That was probably one other thing I didn't like, that Levi was nerfed.
Oh, yeah, so drastically, he lost a leg.
Yeah.
He lost an eye. I mean, but he got nerfed a long time ago when freaking Zeke blew him up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But they didn't have the grand battle I thought they were going to have anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter. But all right.
Oh yeah, shout out to FaZe Gabby, man.
What's FaZe Gabby? FaZe Gabby. Oh, yeah.
He don't miss. He don't miss.
A lot of people don't like Gabby.
Yeah, a lot of people. I ain't really like her either, but she can shoot.
She can shoot.
She don't miss. She don't miss. She don't miss.
Who else did she hit that one? Didn't she kill someone too? Like Sasha?
Yeah, she shot remember the guy that was, she sniped a dude when they got on the blimp. That's how her and what's his name got on the blimp and killed Sasha.
Yeah.
She shot the dude out the sky and then grabbed his ODM gear and went up. She sniped Eren's head off while he was running towards Zeke. Clean headshot. She sniped the freaking the Titan that had Armin inside his mouth. Sniped him while he was moving. She just don't miss. And she also tricked those one dudes, like, she was an innocent girl and then threw a bomb at him and blew up the tracks to, like, allow them to get closer and take over that base. She's a soldier, man. She's a soldier.
What was your episode of the week?
JJK.
Mine was also JJK. Awesome. I shouldn't even think too hard about it.
Moon of the week.
Animation is probably JJK too.
Yeah, and or I'll give it to Attack on Titan for the fights. The fights, but that's like a movie.
Yeah,
so I can't really.
I wasn't counting.
JJK. Yeah, JJK.
Moment of the week. For me, it was probably when Sukuna woke up. That whole part.
Yeah, that whole transition of or that whole all those moments. Woke up, chopped her hands off, cut his arm off. Basically told him, like, you don't tell me what to do. You don't order me around.
Yeah.
What do you think this is? What are we doing? Like, what?
that was it for me.
So yeah,
that's all I got. JJK, and another like Thursday, I guess. Yeah. Any last words from you?
No, that's it, man. That's it.
Okay. Well, then, this has been Week in Weebs, episode 49. Peace out.
Peace.